Number 12. You will hear a story about how umbrella came into use as something to ward off rain. To us, it seems so natural to put up an umbrella to keep the water off when it rains. But actually, the umbrella was not invented as protection against rain. Its first use was as a shade against the sun. Nobody knows who first invented it, but the umbrella was used in very ancient times. Probably the first to use it were the Chinese, way back in the 11th century BC. We know that the umbrella was used in ancient Egypt and Babylon as a sunshade. And there was a strange thing connected with its use. It became a symbol of honor and authority. In the Far East in ancient times, the umbrella was allowed to be used only by royalty or by those in high office. In Europe, the Greeks were the first to use the umbrella as a sunshade, and the umbrella was in common use in ancient Greece. But it is believed that the first persons in Europe to use the umbrella as protection against the rain were the ancient Romans. During the Middle Ages, the use of the umbrella practically disappeared. Then it appeared again in Italy in the late 16th century, and again it was considered a symbol of power and authority. By 1680, the umbrella appeared in France, and later on in England. By the 18th century, the umbrella was used against rain throughout most of Europe. Umbrellas have not changed much in style during all this time, though they have become much lighter in weight. It wasn't until the 20th century that women's umbrellas began to be made in a whole variety of colors.
Number 13. You'll hear an interview.
So, Mr. Hood, you work in the American Embassy in London, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
What do you do there?
I'm an assistant cultural officer there, and my specific responsibilities are bringing a small number of American speakers over to the UK to talk to various audiences here. I also work with the people who teach American studies at the British educational system at secondary level in universities.
What do you think are the advantages and disadvantages of living in the USA?
I think one advantage is perhaps a certain casualness and a more relaxed attitude in the U.S. Things are not quite as formal as what I've seen here in England. Well, people are perhaps a little more spontaneous in just getting up and doing things. Getting up and going someplace in the U.S., a disadvantage, I think, our fascination with bigness and with newness leads us sometimes to be, well, wasteful of resources. We build very big cars that use a lot of gasoline. We build big roads and big parking lots to park them in. And I think we could be a little more conscious of them, of the resources that we're using when we're doing that sort of thing.
What do you think the biggest threat to world peace is?
Well, I guess one would have to say that the tremendous buildup of the weapons of war is a major threat to world peace.
Do you think we'll have a world war at the end of the century? Is that a strong possibility?
Oh, I don't think so. No, well, I guess I could be called optimistic, but I think that people throughout most parts of the world are just too much aware of what a world war would mean. And I think our leaders are now, well, wise enough. They have good advisors, and they get enough input from public opinion so that I think we could avoid whatever final steps would lead us to a world war. So I don't think it will happen. Number 14. You'll hear a talk given by a policeman. Yes, so we in the police force have to handle a lot of problems, which could easily be avoided by taking a minimum of care and using a bit of common sense. The kind of things I'm talking about are muggings, assaults, robberies, and in some cases, rape. Now, I know you are all young and you want to enjoy yourselves. That's okay. I don't want to spoil your fun. So I've tried to tell you how to avoid putting yourselves and your property at risk. For all the girls here, if you are in the bar or disco, then make very sure that your handbag or purse is where you can keep an eye on it, not on the floor or on another chair. If you want to dance, ask a friend to take care of it or take it with you. For the gentlemen, don't walk around with your wallet stuck in the back pocket of your trousers. It's easy meat for a pickpocket, believe me. If you're driving, park in a public car park or at least in a well-lit area if it's at night. Thieves love to find a car in a quiet, dark road. As you are all foreigners here, don't carry a lot of cash with you, and the same goes for passports, identity cards, and other important documents. For your own personal security, it's always better to go home by bus or taxi if it's late. If you have to walk home late at night, go with some friends. If you are alone, stick to well-lit areas. If you see a group of people looking for trouble, cross over the road, and if you really think someone is going to bother you, bang on the door of the nearest house and ask for help. Oh, another word of warning, don't hitch lifts. It's asking for trouble. If a car stops to ask for information, just keep well clear of the door so you can see what the people want. This isn't a dangerous town if you are sensible. To close, I just wanted to say that in this country, it is illegal to carry a knife, spray, or anything that can be used as a weapon, even if it's for self-defense.
Number 15. You will hear a TV program viewing. Good evening, and welcome to this evening's viewing on TV American International. Before we go on to our first program, let me tell you what we've chosen for you tonight. Beginning in a few minutes' time at 7:05 is Regional Special, part of our documentary series which takes a look at some of the more traditional ways of living that still exist in many parts of our country. Today, we'll be seeing the Old Dutch communities in Pennsylvania. After Regional Special at 7:50, there is the news, a look at today's national and international news events. After that, at 8:10, you can settle down in your armchairs for episode 16 of our highly popular series, High Society. This will be followed at 9 o'clock by a variety show presenting all-time greats such as Eric Clapton and Woody Allen, as well as some more recent talent, that great rock band, Fusion. At 10 o'clock, we have 15 minutes of Cleaver the Cat cartoons, and at 10:15, our sports program, highlighting all today's important national and international sporting events. And then at 11 o'clock, you can see our late-night news. At 11:15, we come to our popular health program, Keeping Fit. Tonight, we will be looking at some of the dangers involved in keeping fit. And last of all, at midnight, we have our midnight movie, which tonight features Dustin Hoffman in his light-hearted but serious comedy, Tuzi. Well, that's what we plan for your viewing this evening. We hope you enjoy our selection, and may we wish you good viewing.
Part C. Directions. You will hear 15 talks or conversations. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to the talks or conversations. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answers. You will hear each piece once only. Questions 1 through 3 are based on the following talk given by the President of Student Society introducing the club. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 1 through 3.
Okay, now, I know that all of you are wondering about all the different clubs and societies we have here. So, I've asked some of the society presidents to say a few words about their clubs. First, yes, Kate, would you like to start?
Yes, thanks, Tim. Right. Well, I'd like to tell you something about the video club. It's one of the most popular clubs in the college. We have about 80 members at the moment. The club is one of the oldest in the college. In fact, it began in 1981. I've been a member for 2 years, and I've been the president since January. We do three things, really. Our main job is to rent films on video and show these in the student common room. That's on Tuesday and Friday evenings at 8 o'clock. Then we also make our own video films. We've got two portable cameras, two studio cameras, an editing suite, and a TV studio. So we can achieve quite professional results. And in addition, we make a short magazine-type program each week. It's about 10 minutes long, and we show it just before the films on Tuesday and Friday evenings. Just very simple things. College sports results, any college news, things like that. Of course, membership of the club is completely free. and our members can use all the equipment as often as they like to make their own films. But you do have to pay for the videotape. So lastly, if anyone is interested in joining, please come and see me in the studio anytime this week.
Okay, thanks, Kate. Now, Steve, could you say something about the football club?
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 1 through 3.
Questions 4 through 7 are based on the following talk about a woman's hobby. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 4 through 7.
Conversations are really kind of interesting. I guess it's kind of a hobby of mine to listen to conversations that I can hear in public. It's amazing how different the style or the tone or the content of different conversations can be, and to listen to the differences in the language that people use when they speak to different people. If you are ever in a bookstore or a department store, it's interesting to hear how the same salesperson talks to different people. There are other interesting places to listen to conversations too, I think. And one place that I found is on bus trips. People often talk to each other as if no one else were there. I guess they think people can't hear their conversations. Recently, I was on a bus, and I was listening to a conversation of two people behind me. I can't really say I was listening. I guess it would have been hard not to hear it. It was amusing to listen to the two people, though, because they were playing a kind of language, word game about states and state capitals. One person would say the name of the state, and the other person would say the name of the capital. It sounds like a kind of simple game that doesn't involve much language, and you wouldn't think that it would involve very much conversation. But actually, this wasn't the case, because as they were playing this game, they continued to compliment one another and to talk about how much they knew about history and how many of the other things that they could or couldn't remember about those places from their trips or from their reading. It was really kind of fun to listen to them.
You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 4 through 7.
Questions 8 to 11 are based on a conversation about an actress's life. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 8 to 11.
Hello, everyone. We're talking to Stella Hampton, famous Hollywood actress. Before the break, we were talking about your life, Stella, before you became a big star.
Yes, but do we have to?
Well, I think it's interesting, and I think our listeners will find it interesting, too. I mean, you didn't become a big star overnight. You struggled for many years.
You can say that again.
Tell us a little about it.
Oh, yes. I think I must have worked 20 or 30 different jobs.
Really?
Sure. I couldn't find work as an actress for many years. So I had to do something. You have to eat, right?
Well, what kind of jobs did you have?
A little bit of everything. I worked as a waitress in a department store, painting house. I think I got fired from most of those jobs.
Oh, yeah? Come on, tell us a few stories.
This is so embarrassing. Well, I remember I worked for a big department store in the hatch department. It was so boring. We never had any customers during the day, and that's when I worked. When I got sleepy, I used to lie down under the hat racks and take an occasional nap.
What happened?
Well, one day I got caught, my boss, and I got fired on the spot. Then there was the time I decided to paint house. It turned out that I was allergic to the paint, and my body was so sore after working the first day that I could hardly get out of the bed the next day. I couldn't take the physical work. I got fired again.
Any other war stories?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but I actually drove a taxi for a few days. I got hired as a cab driver.
No, you?
Yes, I was desperate. I thought I could make good tips. I needed the money at the time. Unfortunately, it didn't last.
Fired?
Yes. How did you guess? On my third day, I hit a pole. No one was hurt in the accident, but passenger was fine. But it scared me to death. That was the end of my career as a driver.
Well, Stella, thanks for sharing those details with us. It's a good thing you made it as an actress. After the commercial break, we'll talk more with Stella about her new movie that's being released in September.
You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 8 to 11.
Questions 12 through 14 are based on the following conversation between two friends about taking care of the house. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 12 through 14.
Hello, Janet. I am so grateful that you will be taking care of the house and the pets while I'm away. I really owe you. Here is what you need to know to take care of the house. Actually, there isn't much you need to do, because I've a maid who comes every Tuesday morning to clean the house. So that'll be Tuesday 14th, Tuesday 21st, Tuesday 28th, and Tuesday the 5th. Her name is Maria Sanchez. She's about 1.7 meters tall and has dark curly hair. She usually comes at around 9 in the morning. So if you hear a knock at the door, it's probably her. She does an absolutely fabulous job. She will dust all the cupboards and shelves and vacuum and mop the floor. She should also scrub both the kitchen and the bathrooms. If you choose, she will take your laundry to the cleaners first thing and then fetch it before she leaves. If you decide to have her take your clothes to be cleaned, just leave them on the blue chair by the front door either Monday night or Tuesday morning before Maria arrives. 35 pounds should be enough for her to pay the laundry bill. My bill is usually around 28. Now about the pets. I am sure you have already met my dog. His name is Butch, and my cat. Her name is Princess. They're both quite friendly, so don't be afraid of them. Especially Butch. He is much nicer than he looks. Now, Butch needs to go outside for a walk once a day. Please walk with him for about 45 minutes. This is all the exercise he gets, and he sure needs it. You can find Butch's food on the shelf on the right-hand side of the kitchen sink. He usually eats about 2 cups every day. By the way, on Thursday, 28th, a new bag of food for Butch will arrive, but it is already paid for, so do not give the postman any money. As for Princess, she is very independent, so you don't have to worry much about her. Just fill her bowl with food whenever you notice that it is empty. Her food is in the same place as Butch's food. Also, please be careful not to leave any windows or doors open. Last time a windows was left open. Princess got outside and didn't come home for 4 days. So be careful. Also, on Wednesday the 3rd, could you give Princess a bath? Thanks.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 12 through 14.
Questions 15 to 17 are based on the following talk about computers. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 15 to 17. All right, why don't we get started here? How many of you own and can operate a computer? 2, 4, 6? Let's see, 19. That's quite a few of you. Okay, well, we all know how popular, no, not just popular, how necessary business and family computers are becoming, and how much part of modern-day life they are now. And so today, I'm going to talk about computers. But actually, I don't intend to talk about the function and operation of computers, but about a problem that is both worrying and very dangerous, computer crime. Let's look more closely at this modern crime. One thing is certain. Computers, and especially computer networks, have created opportunities for crime that never existed before. And as a result, the police and justice departments are becoming increasingly concerned about the growing number of computer users who are gaining access to private or secret information. It's a problem that is on the rise worldwide. Statistics are showing a trend toward more computer crime every year. As we all know, the information that passes through computer networks can be sensitive and dangerous if the wrong people get access to it. War Games, a 1980s movie, illustrates this point very well. In War Games, a young high school boy gains access to the United States computerized military defense system, with the intention of playing a game, but ends up nearly starting a nuclear war. This theme is, of course, exaggerated. It is very unlikely that anyone, much less a high school boy, could penetrate the U.S. military security system, which limits access to sensitive networks within the government. But the idea behind the movie is a disturbing one. People can and, in fact, are using their experience in computer operation to break into computer networks and are causing a lot of inconveniences and, even worse, are committing crimes and exposing others to danger. The point is this, computer crime is very real and dangerous. Computer crime is tempting for two reasons. Number one, some computer geniuses have trouble resisting the challenge, just to see if they can do it. And number two, computer crime sometimes has some very significant rewards. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 15 to 17.
Questions 18 through 20 are based on the following conversation between an employer and an employee. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 18 through 20. Mr. Weaver, I have been with this company now for 5 years, and I've always been very loyal to the company, and I feel that I've worked quite hard here, and I've never been promoted. It's getting to the point now in my life where, you know, I need more money. I would like to buy a car. I'd like to start a family and maybe buy a house, all of which is impossible with the current salary you're paying me.
Bob, I know you've been with the company for a while, but raises here are based on merit, not on length of employment. Now, you do your job adequately, but you don't do it well enough to deserve a raise at this time. Now, I've told you before, to earn a raise, you need to take more initiative and show more enthusiasm for the job. For instance, maybe find a way to make the office run more efficiently.
All right. Maybe I could show a little more enthusiasm. I still think that I work hard here. But a company does have at least an obligation to pay its employees enough to live on. And the salary I'm getting here isn't enough. I mean, rents are rising. The price of food is going up. Inflation is high, and I can barely cover my expenses.
Bob, again, I pay people what they're worth to the company. Now, not what they think they need to live on comfortably. If you did that, the company would go out of business.
Yes, but I have been here for 5 years, and I have been very loyal. And it's absolutely necessary for me to have a raise, or I cannot justify keeping this job anymore.
Well, that's a decision you'll have to make for yourself, Bob.
You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 18 through 20.
Questions 21 to 24 are based on the following talk about music in different cultures. You now have 20 seconds to questions 21 to 24. In Western culture, music is regarded as good by birth, and sounds that are welcome are said to be music to the ears. In some other cultures, for example, Islamic culture, it is of low value, associated with sin and evil. In the West and in the high cultures of Asia, it is said that there are three types of music. First, classical music, composed and performed by trained professionals, originally under the support of courts and religious establishments. Second, folk music, shared by the population at large and passed on orally. And third, popular music, performed by professionals spread through radio, television, recorders, film and print, and consumed by the urban mass public. Music is a major component in religious services, theatre and entertainment of all sorts. The most universal use of music is as a part of religious ritual. In some tribal societies, music appears to serve as a special form of communication with supernatural beings, and its prominent use in modern Christian and Jewish services may be the leftover of just such an original purpose. Another less obvious function of music is social adherence for most social groups, music can serve as a powerful symbol. Members of most societies share keen feelings as to what kind of music they belong to. Indeed, some minorities, including in the USA, Black Americans and Euro-American racial groups, use music as a major symbol of group identity. Music also symbolizes military, patriotic and funeral moods and events. In a more general sense, music may express the central social values of a society. In Western music, the interrelationship of conductor and orchestra symbolizes the need for strong cooperation among various kinds of specialists in modern industrial society. You now have 40 seconds to check your answers to questions 21 to 24.
Questions 25 to 27 are based on the following talk about credit cards. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 25 to 27. Credit cards are an important part of American life. Whether we have a positive or negative image of credit cards, they are an inescapable part of our finances, either now or in the future. A credit card can be used to charge things like clothes, tapes, or CDs, dinner at a restaurant, or maybe a hotel room while you're on vacation. When you charge something, you are agreeing to pay for your purchase at a later date. Basically, you are buying something now and paying for it later. Credit cards come with a limit. Let's say your credit card has a limit of $100. That means you can charge up to $100 worth of items on your credit card. You will get a statement in the mail every month that lists the charges you have made. You will also have to make a payment every month so that you have a balance owing. Using a credit card also has disadvantages. First, using it can be very expensive. Banks don't offer credit cards just because they like you. They offer them because they can make money when customers use credit cards. How do they make money? When you charge something on a credit card, you not only will have to pay for what you bought, but you will also have to pay interest or a finance charge if you don't pay your bill in full by the due date. The finance charge is your extra cost of having something now and paying for it later. The interest rate on a credit card can be 15% or even higher. If, however, you pay your bill in full every month by the due date, you do not have to pay interest. And of course, we highly recommend you do that. It's very easy to make lots of purchases on your credit card and then be surprised at how quickly they add up before your bill arrives. If you are not careful when you use a credit card, you could find yourself in a lot of debt. And it always takes much longer to pay it off than to spend it. However, when used correctly, credit cards can be very helpful. It's sometimes hard to do certain things without a credit card. Credit cards are also helpful for emergencies and are good for travel. Some credit cards even insure your purchase, meaning if something is lost, stolen, or broken, it can be replaced. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers to questions 25 to 27.